Welcome to the Forum on your Tally Broadcasting Stations. I'm David Jenkins, and today I am pleased to be joined by State Senator Annie Menar. The first thing I want to ask you is about the pre-K grant award process that you had referenced a few weeks ago. Now, can you explain the process for me, how it works now, and how you said it could be changed? Because you said it's clearly not working.
Yeah, it's a program that has hundreds of millions of dollars invested in the state budget. So let's start there. It's a good use of taxpayer money because it's proven that investment in early childhood education pays off immediately and in the long run for students, especially students that live in poverty. The Rauner administration took a dramatic step and made it a competitive grant process this year, which means that school districts that can't afford to hire consultants to write the grants, unfortunately, were cut out of the process when those grants were scored on a competitive basis. So area school districts that I represent and many others downstate were literally cut out of the process, even though they had been awarded money in previous years and successful programs at the local level. So we're seeking a change now to reverse the impact of what the Rauner administration did on small rural school districts in downstate Illinois.
So is the change something as simple as not making it competitive? Is that really what it comes down to?
Well, basically, yes. I would say, though, we don't want to reward programs that aren't performing well. But at the same time, by making it a competitive grant process, literally you can see the correlation between wealthy school districts and grant awards. So a district that can afford a consultant for a grant writer, I guess there are districts around the state that are overfunded and that just have money laying around. If a school district can afford a consultant, they probably aren't as needy as what this grant program has claimed that they are. So we want to go back to something like the old system that says, well, let's put need and let's put the need for pre-K in the mix when decisions are made on who the grant is going to be distributed to. So it's not just a straight-up competitive process. If it's a competitive process, small rural school districts in downstate Illinois come out on the losing end. And there's a lot of people on both sides of the aisle that are now demanding a change and a reversal of what Governor Rauner put into place this past year.
Sure. Now, is this something the General Assembly will have to address, or is it something that the governor has to address, the State Board of Education? How does the change go about happening?
Yeah, it's a good question. There's a couple of ways to do it, actually. The change was made unilaterally by Governor Rauner. So the State Board of Education could reverse that decision, but I'm not going to rest easy on that happening. So we're going to pursue a legislative fix, which is the second option. Either that's going to happen or that's going to force the conversation on the bureaucrats at the State Board of Education, so that one way or the other we can find a better way to make sure that preschool and pre-K grants are distributed based on need across the state.
Another thing I want to talk to you about is the Lyme disease veto that was overturned here recently. Now, you said the bill would allow doctors and physicians to be more aggressive in treating Lyme disease. Can you explain that a little bit? How would the bill, before it was vetoed and even after it was vetoed, how would that help doctors treat it more aggressively?
Yeah, this is another example, David, of a bipartisan override. It was actually a bill that was passed with large bipartisan majorities that, for whatever reason, the governor vetoed. And the override of the first week of veto session was fairly predictable. What we're searching for here is a way for doctors to more easily diagnose the onset of Lyme disease, which unfortunately is happening more and more around the state. This is something that I learned about based off of advocacy from constituents that I represent. And there are any number of individuals that have contracted Lyme disease, and they have hit roadblocks when it comes to diagnosis and then treatment,
right,
from insurance companies and from HMOs and managed care organizations. So what we're looking for here and what we put in law is to pave the way for an easier diagnosis for Lyme disease so that it can be treated. There's a whole lot of disagreement among scholars and among the medical community about Lyme disease. That's going to continue. But what we want is an easier way for Lyme disease to be diagnosed and then treated so that patients and those that have contracted the disease can get the health care that they're seeking.
Sure. And as we said, the veto was overturned, and you said it had bipartisan support before it was vetoed by the governor. It seemed to have had bipartisan support overriding the veto as well, because I don't think there were any no votes in either the House or the Senate.
No, and that kind of underscores the puzzling nature of Governor Rauner's veto. This was not a controversial piece of legislation. Mm-hmm. I was quite surprised when the governor vetoed it. I'm a co-sponsor, and I worked with Senator Neil Anderson, who is a Republican state senator from the Quad Cities area, from Rock Island. This was something that his constituents brought to him, and it was an issue that constituents that I represent brought to me. So we actually had two separate bills, and we decided to work together on it, because sure, that's always in the best interest when you can forge bipartisan support on any issue. So we were both puzzled when Governor Rauner vetoed, but I'm pleased that the Senate overrode the veto, and now appears as if it's going to be the law. This will help constituents. This will help people and children who have contracted Lyme disease.
Was there something mentioned in his veto message about why he'd made the decision he did?
No, I'm not aware of anything specific, other than the fact that there is a disagreement in the medical community about what Lyme disease actually is. And if you look at what the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has published about Lyme disease, that brings about controversy from differing parties in the medical community. So that's going to continue regardless of this legislation. What we're looking for is an easier way for doctors and the medical community to diagnose Lyme disease so that the effects, the impacts of it on people's lives can be treated proactively by medical coverage and by insurance.
And I believe this actually affects quite a few people, as you said, in the 48th Senate District specifically. I know a few people who have it or who've had it. So it's,
It does. And I would just tell you, David, I've had personal conversations with at least a dozen constituents in the last year about this issue. And this was a major legislative victory for them. This one hasn't gotten a whole lot of attention, but I would just tell you that the impact of this is going to be very positive. Individuals that have contracted Lyme.
Again, that is State Senator Annie Menar. And that's it for this edition of The Forum. Be sure to tune in next time, but until then, this is David Jenkins saying so long.